every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Welcome to Kingdom Ministries International with Pastors Freeman and Twana Williams, where we love families, change neighborhoods, and impact communities with the gospel of the kingdom. We are convinced you will hear and see God's love for you as you advance towards your fulfillment of your life's purpose in Christ. Because they brainwashed you and you haven't moved forward into it. You just sat there and accepted it. And everything you try to do, deny it. I want to write a book, Pastor. Write the book. Well, I sent it to four different publishing companies. They all said no. Good. That means you're moving forward. Yes. Come on. If 24 say no, there'll be one that says yes. Yep. And the one that says yes, they'll come back and the other 23 will start calling you. Oh, we want to reconsider. No, thank you. Amen. I know a guy who wrote a book. He was talking about this. He wrote a book. His first book he published, the publishing company couldn't even hardly pay him. And they went out of business. When they went out of business, all these other publishing companies called him. And next thing you know, people are calling him left and right. And this is what they're telling him. We will pay you in advance for the book. And he said, I don't have time to write the book. Now watch, this is Miles Monroe. They said, do you have sermons about the book? He said, yes. Have your people send us the sermon. We'll do the outline for you. This is what I'm trying to tell you. We've missed this part of the boat because we're so dependent upon a system that's already imploding, and we get upset when we see other people ahead of us. Well, they just know somebody. No, you know somebody too. You know the King. Yeah. Why are you making excuses? You know sitting behind a desk making between $20 and $80 an hour is not what you're called to do. You know that. So start writing down what you think you're called to do, what God is saying. Failure does not mean you failed. We're going to talk about that quickly. 1 Samuel 17, this is David dealing with Goliath. Very important. I had other ones I wanted to use, but I used the very simple ones that you guys were familiar with because I didn't want to take you over too much today. You can only handle so much. Then David said to the Philistine, this is after Goliath was out there 40 days. 1 Samuel 17, 45. I apologize, 17, 45. He'd been out there 40 days challenging them. 40 days, and it got to the point where they started saying what he said amongst themselves. That's what we do. You can't do this, you can't do that. Next thing you know, we start saying the same thing they said. Well, they told me you can't do it. Who is they? The same spirits that's holding you hostage in your brain? Yes. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Are you understanding that?
Yes.
He's coming to him with sword, spear, javelin. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Israel had a problem. What was the problem? Say Goliath.
Goliath
was their champion for 40 days. He said, anybody that want to fight me, come out. Whoever win, the other armies join them. Basically, this is the way it's going to be. Goliath win, Israel, you with us. You beat Goliath, we with you. Got it? Israel had a problem. Everybody else in camp was afraid. The king talked them into fear also. The people out in front of him talked everybody else into fear. Then they came and told the king the same story. When David went to the king, he said, hey, he's been fighting like this since he was young, David. How does he know? Come on, how does he know? He adding to it. He's been fighting like this since he was young, you know. And David like, what? He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you my armor. David said, I don't use this armor. He said, I use a sling and a stone. He said, God delivered me from the bear and the lion. He said, surely he can deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Come on, you got to understand. These people that are trying to stop you, they don't have covenant with your father. They're just there so you won't get into your promised land. And you have to understand how it works. David stood there and he spoke back to him. As long as you don't speak back to the naysayers, you've agreed. Come on, you got to see that. As long as they tell you what you cannot do and you sit there in silence, silence is consensual agreement. Yes, and it begins to go into your mind. The moment they say something and you address it according to what's written, guess what happens? They become silent.
Yes, they do.
But as long as you sit there, they told me I can't get this. Well, you agreed with it. You use your authority to agree with it. So you have to sit there until you get up. God is not going to, let me help you out. God is not going to lift you any higher than you already are. The writer said you are seated with him in heavenly places. Come on, who are you in?
Christ Jesus.
And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. You are in Christ. You will go no higher. So don't sit there and wait for your day to come. Your day came the moment you received Christ. The thing is, now you have to be reprogrammed according to your brain, to your original state, so that you can see what God sees. Are you understanding? As long as you don't see what God sees. David solved problems. Solving problems makes you wealthy.
Yes, it does.
That's the bottom line. You solve problems, you get wealth. David solved the problem, he became king.
Yes.
Saul did not solve the problem. Saul added to the problem. And I'm going to tell you what I told you before. A shepherd came out there with a staff. When he first came out, he came out with a staff, a slingshot, and 5 smooth stones in the bag. Come on, you got to understand, that's what he came out there with. The writer said he stood before Philistines and he stood before Israel.
Yes.
So he's standing in the middle. That is a foreshadowing of the Messiah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He stood there with his staff, the king behind him. David addressed the Philistines the way the king should have.
Yes.
Because prior to that, Samuel had come and anointed him king.
Yes.
So the inner man was showing up. His purpose was showing up.
Yes.
His purpose was showing up. He stood between the Philistines and Israel. He stood there in the gap.
Yes.
And he challenged Goliath word for word and did not move. At that moment, he became king of Israel.
Yes. Yes. Wow. That was it.
That moment, he became the defender of Israel.
Yes.
Because they found him defending sheep. And Israel is the sheep of the Most High.
Yes.
And David defended them. And at that moment, Saul was moved.
Yes.
And from that moment on, when he brought back the head, it said Saul began to hate David even the more.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand, your enemies are only going to celebrate as long as you don't answer. The moment you recognize who's between your enemy and your purpose, you'll begin to give God glory.
Amen.
That's what Christ did. He came out and stood between us and the enemy. He defeated Satan in every aspect. And he said, now you can go anywhere you want to go, do what you want to do. I'm giving you my authority. I'm giving you the kingdom. And I'm giving you the same ability to do what I do even more.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you sitting there and accepting less than? Because this society has brainwashed you and you've accepted it. And you sit there year after year saying, God, how long? And God is asking you the same question.
Mm-hmm.
How long? Start solving problems. The world is full of problems. A little 7-year-old girl put pictures of fish on flip-flops and became a millionaire and sold them. A little 12-year-old boy, because they would open the doors and the doors would hit the walls and cause holes, created a stopper and put it at the bottom of the door and became a millionaire. Because they took his stoppers and put it in all the schools and businesses, so when you open the door now, it doesn't hit the wall. You don't even want to know the other small inventions. You will laugh like, what? Just imagine, you're having a hard day or challenging day and you're trying to get yourself up and get going and you're trying to figure out what to do, and then you realize you got an event to go to. I got to do something with my hair. A person sitting down one day just going, looking at a model of a fish, created a comb, and then billionaires today. A comb. See, you're looking at problems from how they see it. Problems only exist because there's a solution. Wow. A problem is proof that there's a solution. That's why in math, they don't call them math solutions. They call them math problems. And they're saying it's only a problem to you until you find a solution.
Right.
When you find a solution, it's no longer a problem. Your wealth is in your purpose. Your problem is you don't know who you are.
Right.
The moment you find out who you are, every solution shows up.
Right.
Oh, boy. Let's write this down, please. We're almost done. Are you getting something?
Yes.
I blame me.
Blame.
Come on. Wherever you're living, wherever you're doing, wherever you're at, you have to blame you.
Yes.
Don't blame me. Blame you. And I can't blame you. I have to blame me. Write these 5 things down. Number 1, poverty is not an external problem. It is internal and sets generational limits on your mind. Poverty is not an external problem. It is internal and sets generational limits on your mind. I'll read it again. Poverty is not an external problem. It is internal and sets generational limits on your mind. So if you don't slay that giant, your kids will not slay that giant. Because you taught them to fear the giant. And God's going to hold you accountable for not slaying your giant. Number two, failure is necessary part of success. Failure is a necessary part of success. Just as success is fueled by failure. Failure is a necessary part of success. Just as success is fueled by failure. Oh, Pastor, I put out these two books and nobody bought them. But did you follow the way you're supposed to write books? Who are you writing to? I'm writing to a Christian audience. Did you know that the Christian audience only buy 3% of the books in the world?
Yeah.
So if you're going to write a Christian book, that's fine. But understand, your Christian audience will be 3%. Or are you writing a book on leadership and development, which is 97%? With Christian boundaries and Christian ethics and Christian standards. You can do that. Why label your book Christian book if you're trying to reach the world?
Right.
Why not label your book leadership, development?
Yep.
Well, I'm just asking. I'll read number two again. Failure is a necessary part of success, just as success is fueled by failure. People are very successful in life. They keep going because they are reminded of when they failed. And so they're no longer afraid of failure. So they keep going. They keep going. Why? Because even if I fail, I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You have to have that attitude. If it doesn't work, I'm still going to make it.
That's right.
The moment you say, if it doesn't work, I'm going to quit, you've already proven that you're looking forward for failure. And watch. Failure does not mean you failed. It just means another method. Number three. Blaming others is proof your potential is not active yet. Blaming others is proof your potential is not active yet. So if you're spending time blaming others about everything, that's proof that not only are you not active in your potential, you're still trying to find out who you are. I was going to go to the store, but they didn't show up on time. I was going to do this, but they didn't do this. No. You know, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to give you a quick one. I'm going to talk about this when I do the series. Also, there's two series coming up, and I'm going to do some things on leadership. The one of the things I want to know in leadership, I want you to know in leadership, you have to set personal boundaries on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else knows about them, but they're internal boundaries. And do you know that when you are born again, if they would have taught us that, do you know how many things we could have avoided?
Yes.
But you're being taught that here, and I've always taught that, and I'm going to continue to teach it. You must have personal boundaries when nobody's looking. You can come here all day and lift your hands and give God glory, but if you're going home still jumping on the internet, then there are no boundaries. And I'm not talking about looking for jobs or putting up websites. I'm talking about illegal porn and stuff you shouldn't be looking at. Are you still drinking and smoking behind people's back? You know, people don't, God sees people. You know, you're still doing stuff. Then your personal boundaries are down. The wall is down. And you have taken basically all the limits off everything and said, and that's why Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. You can do anything you want to do, but what's the benefit of it? Everything you do in life should be 100%, 100% in line with your vision for your life. Let's get back to this. I know that was deep. Got quiet in here. So you shouldn't be smoking, drinking, gambling, doing illegal sexual acts and all this stuff and hanging with the wrong people if you know this is what you're going to do. The vision should take priority enough to keep you in line.
Amen.
Number four. Your value did not originate from the world. So why do you let the world determine your value? Your value did not originate from the world. So why do you let the world determine your value? And finally, number five, renew your mind by the washing of the Word of God. Renew your mind by the washing of the Word of God. I'm going to show you something you've never seen before, but it was there all the time. The Bible says clearly in John, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When Jesus came as the Word in the flesh, do we agree with that?
Yes.
He is the Word of God in flesh. He said very clearly, metanoia, change the way you've been thinking. I am the Word. I'm going to tell you who you are. And in telling you who you are, I'm going to wash your mind. I'm going to have you change your mind about who you are. Number four, your value did not originate from the world, so why do you let the world determine